Chapter 26. Charlotte worked the aileron on the drone's left wing, up and down. There was still a bit of play in the cables that guided the flap. She grabbed a work rag, hanging from the drone's tail, and dabbed the back of her neck. Reaching into a tool bag, she chose a medium screwdriver. Beneath the drone lay a scattering of parts, everything she could find inside that the drone didn't need. The bombing computer, the munitions mounts from the wings, the release servos. She'd taken out every camera but one, had even stripped out some of the bracing struts that helped the drone pull up to a dozen Gs. This would be a straight flight. No stress on the wings. They would go low and fast this time, not caring if the drone was spotted. It was important to see further, to make sure, to verify. Charlotte had spent a week working on the blasted thing, and all she could think about was how quickly the last two had broken down, and how lucky that first flight now seemed. Lying on her back, she worked her shoulders and hips and squirmed beneath the tail of the drone. The access panel was already open, the cables exposed. Every panel would get a fine bead of cork before it went back together, sealing the machine against the dust. "This'll work," she told herself, as she adjusted the servo arm holding the cable. It would have to. Seeing her brother, the state he was in, had her thinking they didn't have another flight in them. It would be all or nothing. It wasn't just the coughing. He now seemed to be losing his mind. He had come back from his latest call, and had forgotten to bring her dinner. He had also forgotten the last part of the radio he had promised. Now he paced around the drone while she worked, mumbling to himself. He paced down the hall to the conference room and dug through his notes. He stomped back toward the drone, coughing and picking up a conversation she didn't feel a part of. "Their fear, don't you see? We do it with their fear." She peeked out from under the drone to see him waving his hands in the air. He looked ashen. There were specks of blood on his coveralls. It was almost time to throw in the towel, get in that lift, turn them both in, just so he would see someone. He caught her looking at him. "Their fear doesn't just color the world they see," he said, his eyes wild. "They poison the world with it. It's a toxin, this fear. They send their own out to clean, and that poisons the world." Charlotte didn't know how to respond. She wiggled back out to work the aileron again, thinking about how much faster this would go with two people. She considered asking for his help, but her brother couldn't seem to stand still, much less hold a wrench. "And this got me thinking about the gas. I mean, I should have known, right? We pump it into their homes when we're done with them. That's how we end their existence. It's all the same gas. I've done it." Donald walked in a tight circle, jabbing his chest with his finger. He coughed into the crook of his arm. "God knows I've done it. But that's not the only thing." Charlotte sighed and pulled her driver back out. Still a touch too loose. "Maybe they can twist this around, you know?" He began to wander back to the conference room. "They turned off the cameras. And there was that silo that turned off its demolitions. Maybe they can turn off the gas." His voice trailed off with him. Charlotte studied the hallway at the back of the warehouse. The light spilling from the conference room danced with his shadow as he paced back and forth among his notes and charts, walking in circles. They were both stuck in circles. She could hear him cursing. His erratic behavior reminded her of their grandmother, who had gone ungracefully. This would be how she remembered him when he was gone, coughing up blood and babbling nonsense. He would never be Congressman Keene in a pressed suit, never her older and competent brother, never again. While he agonized over what to do, Charlotte had her own ideas. How about they wake everyone up like Donald had done for her? There were only 100 or so men on shift at any one time. There were thousands of women asleep. Many thousands. Charlotte thought of the army she could raise. But she wondered if Donnie was right. if they would refuse to fight their fathers and husbands and brothers. It took a strange kind of courage to do that. The lights down the hall wavered again with shadows, pacing back and forth, back and forth. Charlotte took a deep breath and worked the flap on the wing. She thought about his other idea to set the world straight, to clear the air and free the imprisoned, or at least to give them all a chance, an equal chance. He had likened it to knocking down borders in the old world. There was some saying, he repeated, about those who had an advantage and wanted to keep it, about the last ones pulling the ladder after them. "Let's lower the ladders," he had said more than once. "Don't let the computers decide. Let the people." Charlotte still didn't get how that might work. And neither, obviously, did her brother. She wiggled back under the drone and tried to imagine a time when people were born into their jobs, when they had no choice. First sons did what their fathers did. Second sons went to war, to the sea, or to the church. Any boy who followed was left on his own. Daughters went to the sons of others. Her wrench slipped off the cable stay, her knuckles banging the fuselage. Charlotte cursed and studied her hand, saw blood welling up. She sucked on her knuckle and remembered another injustice that had once given her pause. She remembered being on deployment and feeling grateful that she was born in the States, not in Iraq. Roll of the dice. Invisible borders drawn on maps that were as real as the walls of silos. Trapped by circumstance. What life you lived was divined by some calculus of your people, your leaders, like computers tallying your fate. She crawled out once again and tried the wing. The play in the cable was gone. The drone was in the best condition Charlotte could make her. She gathered the wrenches she would no longer need and began slotting them into her tool bag when there was a ding at the end of the shelves, off toward the elevators. Charlotte froze. Her first thought was of food. The ding meant Donnie bringing her food. But her brother's shadow could be seen down the hall. She heard a lift door slide open. Someone was running. Several someones. Boots rang out like thunder, and Charlotte risked yelling Donald's name. She shouted it down the hall once before, rushing around the drone and grabbing the tarp. She spun the tarp like a fisherman's net across the wide wings and the scattering of parts and tools. Had to hide. Hide her work. And then herself. Donnie had heard her. He would hide as well. The tarp drifted to the ground on a cushion of trapped air. It billowed out and settled. Charlotte turned toward the hallway to run to Donnie just as men spilled from the tall shelves. She fell to the ground at once, certain she'd been spotted. Boots clomped past. Gripping the edge of the tarp, she lifted it slowly and curled her knees against her body. She used her shoulder and hip to wiggle underneath the tarp to join the drone. Donnie had heard her call out. He would hear the boots and hide in the bathroom attached to the conference room, hide in the shower. Somewhere. They couldn't know they were down there. How had these people gotten in? Her brother said he had the highest access. The running receded. They were heading straight to the back of the warehouse, almost as if they knew. Voices nearby. Men talking. Slower footsteps shuffling past the drone. Charlotte thought she heard Donnie cry out as he was discovered. Crawling on her belly, she scooted beneath the drone to the other edge of the tarp. The voices were fading. Slow footsteps walking past. Her brother was in trouble. She remembered a conversation from a few days prior and wondered if he'd been recognized in the elevator. A handyman had seen him. The darkness beneath the tarp closed in around her at the thought of being left alone. Of him being taken. She relied on him. She was going crazy enough locked in that warehouse with him to keep her company. Without him, she didn't want to imagine. Resting her chin on the cool steel plating, she slid her arms forward and lifted the tarp with the backs of her hands. A low sliver of the world was exposed. She could see Boots dangerously close. She could smell oil on the decking. Ahead of her, it looked like a man having a hard time walking, another man in silver coveralls helping to support him, their feet shuffling along as if with a single mind. Beyond them, a hallway was thrown into brightness. All the overhead lights Donny preferred to leave off were now on. Charlotte sucked in her breath as her brother was pulled from the conference room. One of the men in the bright silver coveralls punched him in the ribs. Her brother grunted, and Charlotte felt the blow to her own side. She dropped the top with one hand and covered her mouth in horror. The other hand trembled as it lifted the top further, not wanting to see, but needing to. Her brother was hit again, but the shuffling man waved an arm. She could hear a feeble voice commanding them to stop. The two men in silver held her brother down on the ground and did as they were told. Charlotte forgot to breathe as she watched the man who shuffled along as if weak, watched him march into the lit hallway. He had white hair, as brilliant as the bulbs overhead. He labored to walk, leaned on the young man beside him, arm draped across his back, until he came to a stop by her brother. Charlotte could see Donnie's eyes. He was 50 meters away, but she could see how wide they were. Her brother stared up at this old and feeble man, didn't look away even as he coughed, a bad fit from the blow to his ribs, drowning out something being said by the man who could barely stand. Her brother tried to speak. He said something, over and over, but she couldn't hear. And the thin man with the white hair could barely stand, but could still swing his boots. The young man beside him propped him up, and Charlotte watched, cowed and trembling, as a leg was brought back over and over before lashing forward, a heavy boot slamming into her brother with ferocious might. Donnie's own legs scrambling to shield himself, hugging his shins as two men pinned him to the ground, giving him nowhere to hide from kick after brutal stomping and angry kick.